Yeah.
Is that right, we go?
Oh, would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears, kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny and his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Oh, would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar. And be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food.
He's fat, lazy, and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Oh, would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought.
Yeah, but even though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish.
And all the monkeys are in the zoo. Every day you meet quite a few.
So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
Words to the song, all the monkeys, they're in the zoo. Good evening. Welcome to Edge of Darkness. Jeffrey Bennett here on this second day of February. Groundhog Day. What are they telling us, 6 more weeks? I don't know about you, but I can't handle 6 more weeks of this cold weather. But that's life. It's been a while since I've opened with that piece of music.
But there was a good reason for it.
I'm still not sleeping a lot. At least at night. If I'm lucky to get a couple hours sleep and then I wake up and I'm working all night. Updating websites. And for the first time in a while, I've been able to do some pretty intense work on metropolis.cafe. And it's just one darn thing after another. It just kept coming my way. And then I come across this article that I've read, but it's upset me. It's titled, Parents Want a Complete Overhaul of the Education System. Well, that could mean any number of things. The article begins by saying, in the wake of COVID-19, people now overwhelmingly believe that the education system's broader purpose needs to be rethought. Begins with a shift away from standardized testing, college prep, and a one-size-fits-all model and toward personalized curricula, practical skills, and subject mastery. Sounds good. There's a new survey put out by the Purpose of Education Index, which was released by the Massachusetts-based national think tank Populous. And it found a radical shift in the way most of us view education and what our children should be getting out of it. Aha! Then I made a determination to do something I rarely do. I interrupt the column to publish my own note. And that note stated that with the knowledge that I have gained over many years of studying the education system in the state of Massachusetts. I have little use for what they have in mind for change. But then maybe the family and the students are finally waking up. Some of you may have been listening, tuned into my program in my earliest years, nearly 28 years ago, on the air. It was on Worldwide Christian Radio. I miss broadcasting there. It got horribly expensive, and the management is not the same as it once was. A listener named Paul, who happens to live in Massachusetts, provided me with a disc, or not a disc, but an audio cassette tape, which I still have, and it still works. I think what I need to do is convert it, and I think we need to play it on the air one of these days. But it was a massive private weekend get-together on a Saturday in a public school system in Massachusetts. Now keep in mind, this is 1995. And in this, they're teaching kids it's okay to be a fruitcake. How to have sex with other members of the same sex. I've got all this on tape. This is something that parents weren't supposed to go to. They weren't supposed to allow their kids to come in with recording devices. And one kid did. Now, from another standpoint, my family history bases in that state. One of my ancestors came to this country in the Second Coming, after the Mayflower, became quite well known. There are several plaques, hand-carved rocks, etc., that still pay homage to this relative of mine. Spooky stuff. Well, he got into some interesting stuff. He actually helped bring the public school system as we know it today, or what became known as, to Massachusetts. I'm looking for something here very quickly, and the computer I'm on makes it not easy to do. Here we go. Here we go. Words and deeds, mammy jamma, we should be popped right in here. If we go to metropolis.cafe and up toward the top underneath the banner ad, or the banner cartoon of what's his name? Einstein. There's a segment called Words and Deeds. Hold your mouse over it. Open up the second entry, called Birth of a Nation, 1633 to 1776. The first entry is about a man named David Selleck. Or it could be Selleck. Oh, it could be a number of things. But what I've published in this website are records directly from our family's history. And they're not unlike hundreds of thousands of similar ancestral stories, which can be told of this grand experiment we call America. But it's interesting to get into this thing and start looking back in here. Interesting thing is, different spelling of the name, Selleck, Selleck, Selleck. There's rumors that Tom Selleck is a relative of ours. Could be. My birthday was February 26th. Selleck's birthday was February 27th. Of course, he was born in 1613 or 14. Just interesting stuff to read this. stuff that was compiled by my great-grandparents, Maud Van Heist Gardner, Harry Martin Gardner, back in 1926. Absolutely profound stuff to read. Oh, he got involved in some dirty stuff, too. Everybody's going to do that who's going to survive. But I don't want to concentrate that much on Massachusetts. I'm not going to go back and discuss this. Findings show that the K-12 educational system is wildly unresponsive to what parents and children really actually want. Do they even know what they want? They want a way out of the one-size-fits-all approach driven by standardized testing models and elite institutions, making us compete in a zero-sum game instead of an educational framework geared towards individualized learning, practical skills, preparation for a meaningful life. Yeah, well, a lot of other things going on in the schools that mommy and daddy aren't even aware of. Sad. So sad. And given all the stuff that's on television, on the radio, on the news, the perversion that's taking place to get these students to think and act in a different way. Drag queens coming into classrooms and shagging their stuff. Interesting, I don't come across these as often as I would like to, but, and this may or may not have one damn thing to do with our topic in education, but the reality factor is, give me a second here. Oh, come on. Open this stupid thing up. This computer I'm working on to do the program is driving me up a wall. It is. It's right here. No, it's not. Man, I'm going nuts. I'm going absolutely nuts here. I can't find it all of a sudden. It's disappeared. Oh, piece we published on Federal Observer the other day, John Whitehead, entitled Evil Walks Among Us. Child trafficking become big business in America. Children being targeted, sold for sex in America every day. And you think that isn't happening because of the school nonsense? Sick, twisted, bastardized teachers. Don't tell me some of them aren't involved with it, because they are. That's not what we're here to discuss. But I tend to be very wary about Massachusetts. Insane. I become appalled, frustrated. You know, everywhere in education we see incentives at work. Incentives, though, are so far removed from the actual goals of education that they produce perverse results. Education decay. There's something called Goodhart's Law. It's usually stated that when a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure. Economics textbooks often use the allegory of a maker of nails who receives word that his measure of success at producing nails will be based on the number of nails that he made. And so he retools his factory, adjusts his resource use, produces as many nails as possible, even though many are too thin or small or bent to use. And when his higher-ups decide to measure productivity on the weight of nails, instead, he makes only a very few large nails. They're too heavy to be used. Once your incentives are aligned in service of a particular metric, in other words, that metric no longer is an objective measure. My friends, in the context of education, Goodhart's law predicts that when dry data like test scores or school rankings become the primary or proxy focus of education, the quality of actual learning suffers. Students rightly intuit that high test scores matter much more than learning and understanding the material. The teachers are motivated to focus on test-taking strategies, which have little to no real-world value. The teachers want to neglect important but difficult to quantify areas of knowledge. Grade inflation becomes commonplace because the grade now matters more than the mastery of the material. The evaluation of student learning becomes unmoored, disconnected from the learning itself, which predictably problematic results. And so what we see in the education system in this country today, over and over again in education, we see all of this. Bureaucrats, lawmakers, attempt to set standards that look like success from afar. And the schooling system retools production in service of those measures. But the actual outcomes we want from education are idealized and difficult to measure, such as a population with good civic skills and critical faculties. And the central planners choose one terrible measure after another, and they warp the whole system's priorities in the process. Don't you find it interesting? It does to me. It bothers me. Private Boston-based Northeastern University recently made a key discovery. Well, not recently. They found it back in the 1990s. But here's the problem. We're back in Boston, Massachusetts again. One of these writers keep going back to Massachusetts as the focal point for education in this country. Damn it! And what they found is the most statistically important metric for a university's long-term financial viability and success became its ranking in the U.S. News and World Report's annual Best College Rankings. The third-tier commuter schools struggling to keep their doors open. Leadership decided to pour its efforts into raising the U.S. News rank. Old Northeastern would crack the top 100 schools by reverse engineering the statistical criteria that fed the rankings. So Northeastern caps many classes at 19 students, because the formula rewards classes under 20 students. The institution adopted an easy online application system, recruited heavily, because more students applying at $75 each meant a lower ratio were accepted, contributing to rankings for selectiveness. So Northeastern also began enticing lower-credentialed high schoolers to spend their first semester abroad, which excluded them from the GPA calculations for the incoming class. Now, whether the value of education or the institution's quality ever meaningfully improve, is dubious, and to some extent besides the point. And yet Northeastern's rankings rose from 162 to 49 in just 17 years. And tuition prices nearly tripled. tuition prices tripled. Well, something's smelly there. Unbelievable. You know, many other schools have admitted to gaming the formula in U.S. news, all to the detriment of student experiences. Others, including George Washington University and Emory University, admit to simply cheating, lying about, or exaggerating the statistics that the U.S. news surveys collect. Another familiar example of the demand for data supplanting educational goals is the official college grad rate. Grad rate for four-year degrees, as reflected in government statistics, is only about 33%. And so, unwilling to publicize that discomforting number, record keepers began tracking the graduation rate after 6 years instead, which roughly doubled the rate to 64%. And to a family planning for their child's future, that distinction is likely to be crucial, even as it is actively obscured by transparency data. So now we drop down to K through 12. Oh, keep in mind, we're still in Massachusetts. I ain't pulling the Bee Gees music out for this one. So in K through 12 education, schools are much less beholden to any private ranking system. But in fact, they become more obligated to produce positive data, if not necessarily actual results to support it, thanks to federal oversight. Standardized testing, interim assessments, attendance records, grad rates. The streams of data that teachers and administrators compile should give us insight into the kind of education kids are getting in every school. But do they? My eldest granddaughter is now a teacher. God knows what the hell for. Don't forget this federal no child left behind crap. And later the race to the top legislation demanded robust data to measure student success, teacher impact, institutional effectiveness. Quantifiable testing became more important than student well-being. Target goals were reduced to lines on a stat sheet. Teachers became tools, teaching to the test, ignoring the rest. Music lessons, physical education, recess, art classes, other less structured pursuits atrophied because administrators did not see the clear value of creativity and play to boosting test scores, though the evidence suggests that they did. You know, our obsession in this country with data has overtaken any semblance of education during the school year. Administrators mandate teachers attend testing-focused training during development days. Testing days have become testing weeks. And the utility of data pales in comparison to the cost of collecting it. The price of relying on it may be even higher. Making the collection broader, more frequent, more granular serves only to distract from the true purposes of education. Teachers, administrators, students shift to meet the needs of the data gatherers rather than doing what they do, learn and teach. It's allowed all this crap to be passively measured. And under such misguided incentives, the desire to fudge the numbers, perhaps to make them more representative of the on-the-ground experience, is oh so strong. The teachers cheat. They encourage the students to cheat. memorably epitomized by the Atlanta Public Schools cheating scandal, in which 35 educators were indicted for changing a total of 250,000 test answers from wrong to right. And while they did the wrong thing, those teachers were operating under incentive structures that made Scanton score sheets a measure of how much funding and local control teachers could have to serve kids. Faced with irrational measures, unbelievably high stakes, they gamed the system. Federal regulators had made data the master of outcomes rather than the servants. And so you see, whatever and wherever we measure the intangible, we risk warping the aligned incentives. Something as deeply human and distinctly intangible as learning outcomes, it's easy for the lure of concrete data to supersede what we know to be valuable and meaningful. By disentangling ourselves from measures and rankings, we can maybe return to a focus on what education does for the human mind, not just the data sheets. I don't know. Can that be done? You know, we talk to people who have been interviewed. Parents who say they want to see their students develop practical skills such as managing personal finances, preparing meals, or making appointments is their top priority. Functions that students a generation ago or two generations ago learned in something called home economic classes. But they got rid of that, didn't they? What about demonstrating basic reading, writing, and arithmetic? Being prepared for a career, having the skills to be competitive in the local job market. These are goals of education that have gone out of style in the last generation. But now people are more interested in bringing them back than they are in less practical and more short-term goals. And so overall, these reports evince widespread belief that education needs to be fundamentally changed. It needs to prepare students for the workforce, adulthood, success, not necessarily put students into the pipeline for college. That's a farce of another color. A farce of another color. Sickening. Sickening. We're going to take a short musical break. And when we come back, we're going to take a different approach. Something I've been fighting for with this Metropolis Cafe. Let's go to homeschooling. We'll be right back.
Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. He kicks up at anything he hears. His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak. And by the way, if you hate to go to school,
you may grow up to be a mule.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar.
And be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig? A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He's got no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude. But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar.
Be a fish. A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool all the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish.
And all the monkeys are in the loo. Every day you meet quite a few.
So you see, it's all up to you.
You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
Welcome to school. It's lots of fun.
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Well, we opened with Bing Crosby and cut the Little Lulu for the break. Welcome back. Jeff Bennett here. These subjects are of tremendous interest to me, as they should be to parents and grandparents out there. And I include more and more grandparents because, as the case of my wife and I, we've been so responsible for helping to raise our grandchildren. They've basically been abandoned by parents. Maybe not necessarily physically abandoned by them, but mentally, emotionally, responsibility-wise. Interesting column I came across that just pounded all of this into reality. Once again, this is published at metropolis.cafe. Simple statement. Parents, and that could mean grandparents, it could mean aunts and uncles, it could be your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband down the street, are 100% qualified to homeschool kids. I don't know about you, but I've seen the village. I don't want the village raising our children. You see what the village is doing. Sick, twisted, bastardized, frickin' educators. I got a piece that I just published, which site did I publish it on? Probably in Federal Observer. It talks about a new school board member in Peoria, Arizona, which is not 20 minutes away from where my wife and I live. And you look at this sick crap. Arizona school board member has leaked a radical science curriculum to parents that will teach their children that sex isn't binary and many variations exist. Teacher's name is Heather Rooks. Uh-oh. Many variations of sex. mRNA vaccines, stem cell research. This is one of our local unified school district board of educations. And I've looked at this, Heather Rooks. And I'm sorry, Heather Rooks. Dressed like a woman the whole nine yards. Looks like a guy to me. But looks can be deceiving. And so here's Peoria, Arizona, drawn into this crap. I Our author begins by saying, for 7 years, I slogged through the public school system before my parents made the decision to homeschool. And at the time, I could understand why they were so concerned about making the switch. And our author says, I wasn't learning anything in public school. So from my perspective, it couldn't get any worse. Only later, when I asked my parents about their thought process, did I learn how much propaganda there is against homeschooling. The core of this propaganda is the idea that parents are unqualified to teach their kids. After all, public school teachers are required to have a degree and a license. That teachers really are uniquely qualified. Doesn't show. Public schools have only gotten worse since this person exited their grip. American children routinely perform below grade level in reading and math. Left-wing agenda of many schools is on full display as education officials force radical race and gender ideology into the classrooms. But whatever a parent's reasons for considering homeschooling, religion, academics, school environment, something else, parents are qualified to teach their kids. Nah, but there's continuing debate about whether homeschoolers perform better academically than children in conventional schools. But the data is quite clear. 78% of peer-reviewed studies show that homeschoolers academically outperform students in typical schools. Personally and anecdotally, our author can attest to this. Because he graduated summa cum laude from college. Parents gave him an education that prepared him for college quite well, that met his needs better than the public schools did. Oh, indeed, parents are the experts on their kids, which makes them uniquely fit to teach their children. They know what their kids need, how they learn, how they thrive. Even if some of this seems foreign to new homeschooling parents, it becomes evident quite quickly to parents when working with their own kids. One worry the authors had when considering homeschooling was accidentally not covering something key in the curriculum. And while some homeschoolers used a fully DIY curriculum, most families selected textbooks, worksheets, other materials from homeschooling curriculum brands to craft an education that worked best for their children. Having an existing curriculum can provide a safety net and assuage worries about missing a key concept. Look, these days there are even options for pre-recorded lectures online or via DVD. And some homeschoolers purchase curriculum packages that have all the subjects bundled together for an expected grade level. Many homeschoolers also attend homeschool co-ops, which are conglomerates of tutors and teachers that offer classes that parents can sign their children up for. And our author would describe co-ops as being somewhere between a classroom and a group tutoring session. Classes often have fewer than 10 students, which means each child gets greater individual attention. Students typically attend once a week, then complete homework outside of the class. And unlike public schools, co-ops allow parents to choose the right classes and the teachers for their child. Do you get to do that for your kids, your grandkids now in the public school system? Of course not. Absolutely unbelievable. Another common concern for many beginning homeschooling parents, especially those with high school level kids, is how to teach the subjects that aren't their strong suits. And here the plethora of homeschool options comes in handy, whether it's in a co-op class, a great textbook, or DVD lessons. When our author was homeschooled, his father taught music lessons and computer coding, in addition to helping out with tough math questions. And for math curriculum, they used a textbook that had accompanying video lessons and explanations for all answers. Also took foreign language classes from a co-op and a private tutor. And finally, many parents wonder if they can actually get their kids to complete homework and their daily lessons, which ultimately comes down to patience, parenting style. And admittedly, that area is one of the biggest struggles when his parents began homeschooling. We all learn together. We all grow together. When our author first switched from public school to homeschool, he was very dependent upon parental supervision to learn. A struggle for him and his mother. He was used to putting a zero effort at public school where he already knew the concepts being taught. In homeschool, suddenly he had to learn things for real. But gradually, as he became an independent learner, his mother could take a more hands-off approach, began to allow him to read more, complete worksheets or reports, ask questions as needed. And being an independent learner was instrumental in his ability to flourish in college and beyond. In the beginning, homeschooling may take some additional effort, but by the time the homeschool kid graduates high school or college, he will be beyond grateful for the effort his parents put in. Jordan Alexander. End of story. There's a piece of art that I come across once in a while. It's simple. It's an old country piece. The father and the son out in the warm summer days splitting wood. Neither has a shirt. The father's teaching the kid how to hold and swing an axe. You know, home-based education is not an experiment. My friends, it's how people learn to function in the world for centuries. There's no reason to think that people today cannot do the same damn thing. School is the experiment, not the lack of it. I believe that that experiment that we know as school is in big trouble. Don't let it affect your kids any longer. Get them out. I don't want to hear the excuses. Well, I can't because I work, I this, I that, the other thing. We have obligations. We have these children. And the school system is unable to deliver because of the idiotic school board or their mentality. Some sort of horribly wrong. It's crazy, insane. Now, I want to go in a different area. This came to me a few days ago. It was a prayer. It was given in the Kansas State Senate recently. Minister Joe Wright issued this prayer that left many shocked. And the response was immediate. A number of legislators got up and walked out during the prayer in protest. And in 6 short weeks, the Central Christian Church, where Reverend Wright was pastor, logged more than 5,000 phone calls, with only 47 of those calls responding negatively. There were those at that time who requested copies of prayer. Because of its truth. Reverend Wright begins, Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness, to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says woe to those who call evil good. But that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We've exploited the poor, called it the lottery. We've rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We've killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists. We've called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children. We've called it building self-esteem. We've abused power and called it politics. We've embezzled public funds and called it essential expenses. We've institutionalized bribery, called it suites of office. We've coveted our neighbor's possessions. We've called it ambition. We've ridiculed the We've polluted the air with profanity and pornography. We've called it freedom of expression. We've ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God. Know our hearts today. Search us, O God. Know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Amen. Powerful words. Are we too blind to see? Are we being so entertained that we cannot face the reality of that which I've just shared with you? A different way of approaching so much of the stuff that we've tried to cover over the years. I, for one, have grown weary, tired. There are a number of reasons I bring some of this up. And what I bring up is to share with some of you some of the idiocy that I received via email. It's either all by one person, or it's by a total absolute jerk of a human being who likes to use different names. And I receive these continued emails almost on a daily basis. likes to give a lot of biblical reference. But then I have to sit there, look at the rest of his words and say, what's biblical about this character? Here's one of the notes addressed to me. The subject is Buck, Buck, Buck. And the man who goes by the name of Tony, Aloha to you too, at Yahoo, says, you still only a chicken, Jeff Arena, chicken chow? Eternally A plus plus or Z minus minus minus? No. What is your GPA? The first one. No. Z. Duh. Y. Psalm 58:3. How you're only made to eternally be. Duh. Nice. Nice strong Christian guy this character is. Now another one comes in. Allegedly from Angel of Oh, yeah. Now it's all kicking in with Michael, the network. All right, so the next time he sends me something, it's from the Angel of FYHVH777. He sent copies to John Moore, to Skippy Baker, and Elia James, and Fuzzy Dog, and a wide range of people, broadcasters on the network. 99.9999999999 plus ever. Gives me a link to the BibleHub.com Revelations. Ready? I've received a lot more from this character. I find it extremely non-Christian. As a matter of fact, whoever and whatever your name is, you're an asshole. I don't find your way of approaching anybody with your mindset to be Christian whatsoever. Oh, I know when I use the kind of language I use, you can make it non-Christian if you want. But sometimes I have to talk back to you in your own manner so that you understand things. It's unbelievable. Oh, I got some more today and deleted them today. Thought I'd pop a couple of these over to share with the audience. Wide range of people. Stuff's being sent to. I don't even know half of them are. But you keep doing what you do. It's entertaining, the least. For you. Go look in the mirror. Now entertain yourself. Quit trying to entertain the rest of us who just don't give a damn. Let's put it in simple terms. Tony or Angel of whatever the hell you are, whatever name you want to use today. If you don't like the broadcast, you don't like what this network does, then go tune in somewhere else. We don't need you. Nobody's paying attention to you. And we're about out of time. Join Maggie tomorrow. She'll be in. Lord willing, I'll be back on Tuesday. My sleeping habits still suck. I'm still getting no more than a couple hours sleep a night. But the amount of work that I've gotten done is phenomenal. I got up this morning. 4:30, 5 o'clock, left, went to Jack in the Box, got my favorite breakfast sandwich, my breakfast meal that I get there, which I've not gone and had for quite a while. Hadn't seen this gal for a while. Had not been to that particular store. Perfect. Came back home. Went to work. Did not stop working until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The amount of work that I accomplished exceeded anything that I expected. Every goal that I set for the day was met. And then I went and laid down. And boy, I was out hard. And frankly, I can go to sleep right now, and I may. Yeah, I know I need to eat. I'll wake up at some point in time, and oh, good Lord, no, don't let my wife cook something for me. It's getting bad. We got some Georges running? Don't know. We might be out of time. There we go. That's my fault. You take care of yourself. I'll see you next week. Have a good weekend. I've got much to accomplish without apology. I'm out of here. Good night. Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do you think we have time? The empty hand, oh, we hold on to what you can. And charity is the coat you wear twice a year. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you'll find that what was over.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.